Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Holding Fast to Faith. I'm your host, Brett Hill, and Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." It's time, once again, to learn about and lean on some of God's faithful promises. So grab your Bibles, clear your hearts, and prepare your minds to receive the precious Word of God. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today we have a great message for you, very encouraging message out of the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 18 through 23, and the title of the message is "Great is Thy Faithfulness." If you don't have your Bible, pause the podcast, run, get your Bible, come back and join us. Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 18 through 23. We're going to talk about "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Starting with verse number 18, he said, "And I said, My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Church, I want to give you some good news today and some encouragement to remind you that God is faithful in every aspect of our lives. When we turn to Him, He is faithful. When we lean on Him, He is faithful. When we trust in Him, He is faithful. He is not a God that will slip off to the side and forget us and not be listening to our prayers and not be remembering us. He is a God that is faithful and just. He even says in His words that when we sin and when we mess up, that He's faithful and just right there to forgive us of the sins that we commit and bring us back into right standing with Him every single time that we ask. And I'm reminded of the scripture, to where the passage when his disciples was talking to him, maybe one of his disciples were just distraught about his brother constantly messing up and maybe having to deal with forgiving his brother, and just, you know, when should enough be enough? And he said, "Should I forgive my brother seven times and that be enough?" And Jesus said, not just seven times, and he's talking about in a single day. He said seven times 70 in a single day. So 490 times that Jesus is telling us that forgiveness should be in our heart. Why? Because he wants us to reflect the way he is. He wants our lives and our personalities and our hearts and our spirits to reflect the Christ that is in us, to look just like the Christ that came and died for our sins. So I want you to see that and ponder on that for just a minute, because he tells us that our forgiveness should be, and again, this is a rhetorical number, 490 times in one day, but he's saying that I am faithful enough with me. If we look at another passage, when we look at Matthew, and as he tells us that everybody that will ask of him, everybody that will seek of him, everybody that will knock seeking for him, that he tells us that everybody that knocks receives, everybody that seeks finds, everybody that's asking of him receives. What he's telling us with the scripture there, as it goes on down, you being evil people, he's calling the human nature evil, because we are. We have disobedience in our heart. The heart is evil above all things, according to the scriptures. And so he says, if we then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, when he told us, if our son asks us of bread, shall we give him a serpent, or give him a stone? Ask of a fish, shall we give him a stone? We're trying to see here in a picture, and I want you to see the comparison that Jesus is truly making about his faithfulness to us and his ability to forgive and restore and bring us back into right standing at all times. He never leaves us. He never leaves us sitting without us. He's faithful to stay with us through thick and thin and always be beside us, closer than a brother. But as he says in those scriptures, How then, you being evil, know how to give these good things to your son when they ask of you, how much more? He brings in that statement, how much more? And I want to ask you today, how much more do you think your Father in heaven loves you and cares for you enough to tell you that the needs that you have here on this earth will be fulfilled by Him alone if you just ask Him for the help? If you will believe in Him and trust in Him for the help. He tells us that if you will ask, you will receive. He says many times in His scriptures to ask, because He wants us talking to Him. He wants us asking of Him, treating Him like a father. Daddy, could I have this? Daddy, I need this. Could you buy this for me? We need to go to the Father, Abba, and ask Him, Father, I am lacking here in this place. I am in need of this. I am hurting and I need a healing. Father, I need You. And He says, how much more, you being evil, know how to give good gifts when your children ask of you that your Father would give to you. So He's saying 490 times a day that forgiveness should come from our hearts. So how many times a day should forgiveness come from Him? How many times a day should faithfulness come from Him and the good things that He gives to us? We miss the picture because we want to be realistic and we want to be religious and we want to have some sort of legalistic thing coming out of the Bible and going, oh, well, this has to be met first and this has to be met first. And Jesus made it simple. If you'll put God ahead of everything else in your life, make God first in your life. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, body, and strength. And He said, love your neighbor as you would yourself. Put those two things in place in your life and let those two reign in your life. Love God with everything first. Not love your wife or your children with everything first. Not love your job. Not love the amount of money that you're making more than anything else. Don't love the 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and all that overtime that you're making that's keeping you away from God and keeping you away from church and keeping you away from the things that He wants you to be doing. He says, love God with all your heart, mind, body, and strength first. So your heart should be to Him first. Your mind should be to Him first. Your strength should be going to Him first. And He says, if you will love Me first and then love your neighbor second, and pour out your life towards your neighbor and love other people and forsake yourself at times to love other people, then everything that I have in the Bible, all the laws that I have laid out before you, are summed up in those two laws just by showing love to Me first and love to everybody else second. And that's what He's saying, because He is faithful. As He says in many other places in the Bible, when you have those two things in place, and I want you to hear this, because when you have your love for God in place and it's not out of line, you've got that in order in your life, you've got your priorities straight, God is number one, and then everybody else becomes number two, and self becomes number three. You put everybody else above your own needs and above your own wants. And the way that God's system works like that is, if you are praying for Joe down the street, Joe down the street should be praying for his neighbor across the street, and his neighbor across the street is praying for Eric or James or whoever down the street, and maybe Eric and James is praying for you and your needs. What He's doing is everybody is looking out for each other. And when we do that, then all needs are met according to God's riches and His glory. And of course, we don't want to do that because it don't make sense to us. So we just decide that we're going to go our own way and do our own thing and take care of self first. And then we fall out of the leadership. We fall out of the desires of God's heart for us. And we fall out of His plan for us. And then things start going bad. And we can't figure out why God is not faithful like He said He is. But He says, I will love you if you do what I say. I'll call you My friend if you'll do what I say. I'll love you if you keep My commandments. He speaks those things because He wants us living that abundant life that He has set before us. And He wants us having the riches of His glory and sharing in the inheritance that Christ received when He rose from the grave. But the only way we share from that is we take part in Christ. When the scripture says to believe, it don't just mean, hey, I believe Jesus Christ exists. That's not enough. Jesus Himself said that the enemy, Satan himself, believes. The demons believe and they tremble, but that's not going to do them any good. What the scripture means when we believe upon He whom the Father has sent, that word believe means trust and let into your life enough that you would follow what he says and take his leadership upon your life so that he's the one leading you and you're the one that's trusting in what he says to do. That's what that word believe means right there. Look it up. Get in your concordance. Don't believe other people. Don't believe me. Find it out for yourself. Get in the Bible and study to show yourself approved to find out that God is faithful when we are faithful. He wants us to line up with his desires. And when we don't line up, when we do make mistakes and we're not lining up, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, just like Lamentations chapter 3 says right here, that he is new every morning. His faithfulness is new every morning. You get a new chance, a new start every time that you mess up. So when you mess up and when things seem bad and the devil gets in your ear and goes to telling you that it's over with, that God cannot save you anymore, he's forgiven you of that same sin over and over and over, go back to the conversation he had with his disciple about the disciple forgiving his brother, not just 7 times a day, but 490 times a day. How many times can you mess up in the same sin every day? If 490 times is a mess up, I'm going to dare to say that you ain't even saved and don't know who Christ is. But it's a rhetorical answer. He says, my forgiveness is there every time you need it, no matter how many times you need to call on me. That's what he's really saying. He's faithful to you today. So whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're dealing with, the pains in your life, the economy that you're dealing with as we are living in this world and you see the economy going bad, other countries around the world in Africa and Zimbabwe, all these places down there, you people that are listening to the podcast in that area that have complained so much about the poverty and all that stuff. We understand and God understands, but he says still trust in me because this world does not matter compared to his eternal place for you. This life we have is temporary. It's just a breath in the wind. And I don't mean that to sound harsh, and I don't mean that to sound like I don't have any empathy or compassion to anybody. But if we leave where we are at today and get ran over by a truck or a train, if we have Christ in our life, we've lost nothing. We've gained everything. So I want you to understand that God's faithfulness is something that is everlasting. It's not something that's temporary. It's not something that he puts a time limit on. He's faithful to you every time you call out to him. And every time that you need him, he's there to answer. If it's sickness in your body, he's faithful to heal you. And he will heal you. He says that he's already healed you when he came out of the tomb, as it was prophesied in the book of Isaiah, that by his stripes we are healed. So he's saying that our healing has already been given to us. Now, yes, many people don't receive a healing here on this earth in their fleshly body, but they receive a total perfect healing in their glorified body when they leave here and go to live with Jesus Christ. Why? Because his ultimate goal, his ultimate plan for all of us, because he purchased all of us, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. His ultimate goal of where he purchased everybody, he owns everybody, his desire for everybody is to spend eternity in heaven with him and his Father around the throne room of God, and a place that he has specifically prepared just for those who believe and trust in him. So if you leave this world because of sickness, if you leave this world because of poverty, if you leave this world because of a tragic accident, you have lost nothing. Paul says to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we need to get that in our lives and understand in our own hearts that Jesus Christ is the center of everything, and we should be making him the center of everything because he is faithful to what he said. He told us that he would go and prepare a place for us. He tells us right here in Lamentations 3 verse 21, we have hope. It's not always that we have hope in every single situation that our flesh wants us to have hope in. And I brought this up to someone in our church the other day as I was explaining what he says, I will give you the desires of your heart. If you are desiring a Ferrari, that does not mean the scripture can be used to get you a Ferrari. What he's saying right there, sometimes God is going to put some desires into your heart. When you don't know what to desire, he will give you desires. He will place desires. Why? Because when he comes into your heart and lives in you, the person that's living in you, the God, the Christ that's living inside of you, has some desires for you, and those desires start coming out through your desires. And He will give you desires of your heart. And sometimes your body, the temple that you live in, because it's tainted with sin here on this earth, and it's got evil in it, and it's going to be corrupted because of the sinful nature. Your body's going to fail you. Your body's going to be corrupted. It may go the way of the grave, but it's just a temporary temple. It's not the real you. The real you is inside of you. The Spirit, as Paul said, "Nevertheless I live." Wait a minute. It's not me that's living, it's Christ that's living inside of me. And now that He's living inside of me, I've got the life that He provided for me. He's telling us that it's not us living anymore, it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ, a permanent Spirit, an eternal Spirit, someone who has eternal life inside of you. Get that picture inside of you today and give God some glory because of it, because He's faithful. There's nothing the enemy can do. There's nothing a corrupt government can do to you. There's nothing that a sickness can do to you. There's nothing that a corrupt regime or maybe a military facet can do to you, because you already belong to Jesus Christ. You've been bought and paid for with His blood, and you've already got a permanent eternal Spirit inside of you that's caused you to now have eternal life in Jesus Christ, and you will never see death in your spirit. The real you will never see death. And you may, well, preacher, I just had a funeral a couple weeks ago and saw my loved one die. Maybe their body did die. If they were in Christ, if they received Jesus Christ, the body fell, but the person did not. Their spirit did not. We have to learn to separate that. Why? Because great is His faithfulness. When He enters in, as He told Mary and Martha at the tomb, He told them, "Those who believe in Me that are living shall never die." He said before that, those who were dead, those that maybe we've buried, maybe we've had funerals, those who were dead, if they believed in Me, they will live again. Why? Because Jesus told Mary and Martha, standing at the tomb of their brother, He told them, He said, "Listen to Me, I am the resurrection." If you have invited the resurrection to come inside of you and live in you and take up residence in you and lead and guide your life and be your Lord and Savior, then resurrection power lives inside of you. Your spirit is never going to die, and He's going to resurrect your physical body one of these days. Why? Because He's faithful and just to do the things that He said that He would do for you. He is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Yes, you have the ability to walk away from Him if you can, if you feel like it, if you want to forsake Him and turn on Him and serve other gods and go serve Satan and do things like that. You have the free choice to do that, but He promised that He would never leave you. He promised He would never forsake you. Those who put their trust in Jesus Christ will never be forsaken by our Lord and Savior, and that is something to rejoice about today. That's something that we can have some joy in our hearts and understand that we are going to live eternally despite the hardships that come upon us. As the writer of Lamentations says here, "My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." He's going through some hard times. He's lamenting. That's what this whole book is about. I'm having troubles. I'm thinking about all the hard things I've gone through, remembering my afflictions and remembering my misery and all the stuff that I've been through, and my soul still has them in remembrance to this day, and it keeps me humble. It keeps me down to earth. It keeps me remembering who my God is, and then I recall in my mind. Look what he says in verse 21. He says, "I learned to recall something." When David was at his home and he saw that the enemy Saul had come in and killed or taken all of the people and taken their wives and their children and all of his men turned on him, he got up and shook himself and shook himself and encouraged himself in the Lord. That's what's going on right here with Jeremiah. As he was writing these lamentations, he said, "I recall to my mind, and a thought came to me. Some good news came to my mind. Some hope came to my mind. Therefore, I have hope." Why? Because it's because of the Lord's mercies that I'm still here. It's because of His compassions that I'm still on my feet. It's because of His mercy in my life that I'm still preaching the gospel. It's because of those mercies and favor on my life that I'm here every morning, that He has put His hand on me, that He is faithful and just to be with me through everything and all those things that I remembered about my affliction and my misery and all the things that I went through. I may be remembering that I went through them, but I also remember who got me through them. And that is good news to me today. That should be good news to you today. Whoever's listening out there, if you are a child of God, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is good news for you to know that Jesus Christ is faithful. He is still there in your afflictions. He's still there in your misery. He's still there to bring you out of it. As David said, I walked through that valley. I didn't hang around in it. He's saying here in the writer of Lamentations, Jeremiah is saying, I remembered my afflictions. Because he didn't stay in the afflictions. I'm remembering those miseries that I went through. Why? Because I didn't stay in those miseries. What he's saying, it's the Lord's mercies that I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Why? Because I didn't stay in them. He brought me out of them. Jesus Christ is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. And he is there every time that you call upon him. And I want you to have some good news today. I want you to know that he's always there for you. He promises in his word that the things that he says, that not one jot or tittle of his word will pass away, that everything will come to pass. And if he says he's faithful, he is faithful to the end. There is no such thing as Jesus giving up on us, and that gives us hope. And God has told Jesus Christ that he has given him all power, given him all authority, and all dominion over all creation. And Jesus turned around and said, all this power and authority and dominion I give to you. Who was he talking about? Those who believe and trust in him. Those who are joined to him, that have drinking the cup of his wrath with him and said, I was crucified on that cross with Jesus. I died and I was buried in that tomb with Jesus. But I was also resurrected with Jesus, because he is the resurrection and power, and his resurrection lives inside of me, and therefore I have hope today. I have joy today. I have a future in him because he is faithful. And I want you to be encouraged by that today. And anybody that is out there that is hurting, that's going through tribulation in your life, you may be sick, you may be down and out, you may have a broke down car and don't have a way to get to your job, and maybe losing money and bills may be coming due, but I want to tell you today, all these things here on this earth, and this is not meant to make you feel like I'm not really compassionate for you, but these things on this earth are temporary. But if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, he will always make a way where there seems to be no way. Where it looks impossible for you, all things are possible for him, and he will open a door that nobody else can open. He will be there for you if you'll totally put your trust in him and forsake all others. Forsake all others. Forsake the job. Forsake the money. Forsake the house. Forsake the car. Forsake family if you have to. If they won't follow you, if they won't follow Jesus Christ with you, tell them, just like the man of God says, y'all can serve the gods before the flood like your forefathers did, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make up your mind that God is going to be the only one that you follow, that he's going to be the one that is first and foremost in your life, despite what everybody else believes, despite what they choose to do, despite the Kool-Aid that they decide they're going to drink, despite the tricks of the devil and the ways of the world that they want to follow. You tell them, I'm following the Lord despite you. If I have to do it all by myself, I'm going to serve the Lord, and God will put his favor upon your life. He will turn things around for you. It is promised in his word that he will do these things. So I want you to be encouraged today, and I want to pray with you today to help you understand how faithful God is, and invite him into your problem, and stop trying to fix it yourself. And, you know, I mention this scripture, Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6, quite often, but you need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just trust in him when things are going good, but trust in him when things are going bad, and believe that it's all part of his plan. The bad things should draw you closer to him so that your relationship gets stronger in the bad times. But he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't pay attention to the way you're thinking. Don't pay attention to the things that you think that you understand the way they should be going. He's saying that let him lead your way. Let him light your path. In in all your ways acknowledge God. In other words, I'm fixing to go down this path. Lord, is it the right one to go? You tell me which turn I should make. You tell me if I should stay at home. You tell me if I should leave and go out the door and go do this. Let God be your direction and tell you in everything that you're doing, and watch Him turn things around for your life. Amen. I want to pray with you today. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the listeners that listen to this podcast, Lord, and listen to these messages. God, I pray right now as they're listening, God, that your hand would be upon them. Lord, that you would help them through their tragedies and through the trials that they're facing in this world. God, that you would help their faith grow and let them hold fast their profession in you without wavering, because you are faithful, Lord. God, I pray that you cause your Holy Spirit to move upon their lives right now, to show them in their spirit that you are faithful. And if they'll turn their hearts to you 100%, if they'll hand over their troubles to you 100%, God, that you will be faithful to step into that trial, into that trouble that they're going through, and walk them through it and help them through it to the other side. And God, that your favor would be upon them, your protection would be upon them, and help them understand, God, that this life is not the end of the world. This life is not the end of the life that you've given us, that it's just temporary, that you do have something permanent, eternal for us, that you just want us to trust you and lean on you now, God, so that we could show you how faithful we are to you, knowing that you're faithful to us. And God, I pray that even those that need forgiveness, God, that they would just fall on their heart in a place of repentance right now, God, and ask forgiveness and get themselves back in right standing with you, so that your hand of mercy could be upon their lives. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that your word never fails, God, and we can always depend on you in every situation. In Jesus' holy name, I pray and ask these things. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you, and I pray that this has helped you today and that it will help you turn things around and start seeing God move in your trials. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. We'll see you on the next one.